In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the first gospel reading, we heard about the feeding of the 5,000, and it's a notable miracle for many reasons, one of which is that it's the only miracle that Christ worked in his public ministry that is recorded in all four of the gospels. And so obviously it was important to each of the evangelists, and they each provide basically the same story, but they also all provide some unique details, which when you put them all together, gives you the full picture. To understand a little bit about the setting for this occasion, you need to read the verses prior, because what happened was is that we, in the Gospel of Matthew, hear about the beheading of St. John the Baptist, and then we're told that Christ was told about it. And it says that when he heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. He did this because it was not yet his time to die, and so he left the city and put himself out of the easy reach of those who would gladly have added another murder upon the murder of St. John the Baptist. And he didn't do this out of fear, but simply because he was going to die in the place, time, and manner of his own choosing. And as a matter of fact, it would just be 1 year later, as we see in the Gospel of John, which tells us, and the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. So this was 1 year prior to the occasion when Christ himself, the true Passover lamb, sacrificed himself for us. St. Matthew goes on and tells us, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. But the Gospel of Mark gives us a little bit more details. It says that, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him. In other words, they recognized him. And then they, it says, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them. In other words, they outran the ship to the place where Christ was going, and they came together unto him. So they were watching the ship depart. They, no doubt, they were running around the northern rim of the Sea of Galilee, and they kept their eyes on where the ship was landing. And when Christ landed, intending to be in a place apart by himself, a deserted place, he's thronged by all these people, not just from the city of Capernaum, but from surrounding cities who were aware that he had gone there. And then St. Matthew tells us, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. St. Mark tells us specifically why Christ was moved with compassion. He says, because he saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. And it says that he began to teach them many things as well as to heal them. And St. Luke tells us that he specifically was teaching them about the kingdom of God. So the day was spent with Christ both teaching about the kingdom and also healing those who were sick or who were infirm. But it started to get towards the end of the day, and his disciples began to get concerned. And it says, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals." In the various gospel accounts, one thing you have to understand is that you often find sort of a condensed summary of what happened or what was said. But you need to understand that there was a lot more that was said. Just like when we have conversations with people, if someone asks, what was that all about? You would give a brief summary, but usually conversations are a little bit more involved than that. And St. John's Gospel gives us a little bit more detail. We're told that Christ spoke to the apostle Philip, and he said, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" In other words, where are we going to go get food for these people? And then St. John himself tells us what was going on. He says, "And this he said to prove him," or to test him, "for he himself knew what he would do." Christ knew what he was going to do, so he didn't need to find out where food was going to be bought, but he wanted Philip to think about this question. And then we're told that Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth, which, you know, there's been a lot of inflation since 1611, so we're not talking about two American dollars. A denarii is what's actually used in the Greek, and one denarii would be worth a day's labor. So 200 denarii would be someone working most of the year to provide the food that he's talking about. He said, and we wouldn't get bread sufficient just for them to each have a little bit of food, not for them to be really satisfied. So Christ asked him this question to really think about the magnitude of the problem that they were presented with. And then from what the other evangelists record, as is quoted in the Gospel of Matthew, clearly the other apostles were of the same mind. They thought there was no way that they could possibly provide for this great number of people, and that sending them off to the surrounding villages would be the most practical way to deal with this. One thing we should understand about this gospel reading, and there's quite a bit in the Gospels that's parallel to what we read about in the Law of Moses, particularly the wilderness wandering of the people. Because here we have this multitude of people, and they're out in the wilderness. What does that remind you of? Well, that ought to make you think about the Israelites in the wilderness. And there, of course, were many occasions when the Israelites complained, "What are we going to drink? What are we going to eat?" And then God gave them manna, and then eventually people started to complain, "Well, we're tired of just eating this manna. We want something else. We want some meat." And so God had told Moses to tell them that they would have not meat just for one day, but for a whole month. And so Moses, like the apostle Philip, is incredulous, you know, wanting to know from God, how is this going to happen? And we're told in Numbers 11 that Moses said, "The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh or meat that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them?" And the Lord said unto Moses, "Is the Lord's hand made short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." So my hand isn't short. I've got plenty of reach here, Moses. Don't worry about it. I can do it. Moses didn't believe it until he saw it. And that's the way the apostles were as well. But then we're told, "But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And once again, the apostle John gives us a little bit more detail. It says, "And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Now, barley loaves were about as cheap a bread as you could possibly have, but they only had 5 of them. And when it says 2 small fishes, it's possible that he's talking about sardines, or sardine-like fish, because there's quite a bit of that that's in the Sea of Galilee, and this was actually a popular export in the days of Christ. They actually had a place where they would prepare this and put them in clay pots and send them off, obviously preserving them. But that's the way most people in the world who didn't live right next to a body of water would have been able to eat fish. But it's also possible that he was just trying to emphasize the fact, we've just got these 2 little fish and these 5 loaves. What are they among so many? And one thing we should note here, on the one hand, we have the apostle Philip seeing how big the problem was. Here we have Andrew seeing how few the resources were. And Christ is going to tell them, "Look, you give me what you've got, and I'll take care of the big problem." He says, he said, "Bring them hither to me. Give me the little that you have, and watch what I do with it." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And here we have an image of what we hear about in Psalm 22 or 23 in Protestant Bibles. "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. In a place of green pasture there hath made me to dwell. Beside the water of rest hath he nurtured me." Here we're told they were sitting on the grass. Christ saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he's being their shepherd. He is providing for them just like a shepherd would his own flock. And when it says that he looked to heaven, he did this to teach his followers where they should look for what they need. We need to look to God, because we can't provide for ourselves, but we can look to our shepherd, and he will provide for us. The 5 loaves, we're told by the fathers, represent the 5 books of the Law of Moses, and the 2 fish represent the teachings of the apostles, the fishermen, first the Gospels being the first fish, and the epistles being the second fish. And we're told, "And they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So more than 5,000 people. We don't know how many women and children there were that made this journey into the desert, but probably quite a few in addition to the 5,000 men. There were 12 baskets full that were left so that each of the 12 disciples would carry one away and would have impressed on their memory this great miracle. And this was true even of Judas. He carried away a basket. He saw this miracle and he saw all of Christ's other miracles. And so he was without excuse. Christ fed them in the wilderness just as God fed the Israelites in the wilderness. But he himself is the true manna from heaven, which is what the manna in the wilderness pointed to. And as a matter of fact, if you read on in John chapter 6, where this miracle is recounted, it goes on to talk about how Christ said, don't seek the physical bread, because after they sailed to the other side and Christ walked on the water, and then the people saw him the next day, Christ said to them, you're seeking me because you ate and were filled, but you don't want to seek just food. You don't want earthly nourishment. You want to seek the real bread. I'm the real bread. We also need to remember that Christ knows what he's going to do. We don't know what he is going to do, but what we need to know is that he knows what he's going to do. And that's where faith comes in. There's so many things in our life. We look at what's ahead of us, and we just don't know how we're going to be able to get through it. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't need to worry about the fact that we don't know what we're going to do, because we need to know that Christ knows what he's going to do, and just put our faith in that. We'll find out what it is that he's going to do. He already knows what he's going to do, and we just have to have faith and to trust in that. And if we simply give God what we have, all they had were 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they gave it to Christ, and yet they walked away with 12 baskets full after everyone had eaten all they could possibly eat. If we give God the little bit that we have, if we give him our effort, if we give him all that we have, if we dedicate ourselves 100% to him, Christ will do some amazing things with that. He'll take the weakest person, people who don't have any ability. We talked about St. Matrona not too long ago. Here we have a blind woman. She gave God everything that she had, which wasn't much, and look what God did with her. Look at all the saints. There are so many examples of saints who by themselves you would think, what could this person possibly do? And yet because they gave God everything, God was able to do great things through them. And the most important thing we need to take away from this is that we need to seek the heavenly bread. At every liturgy, we use 5 loaves to prepare for the liturgy because this is the heavenly bread. This is what the manna was pointing to. As a matter of fact, there's so many things in the Old Testament that if you don't read, you won't understand these kinds of things. But think about this. What was placed in the ark? There was a jar of manna that was preserved that God said, put this in the ark so that future generations will be able to see what manna was. And they also had Aaron's rod that budded, which showed that Aaron should be the priest. And they also put in the books of Moses, the book of the law. Well, you know what? You look at this holy table right here. What do you see on the holy table? You see a tabernacle. That's the jar of manna. What do you see on the holy table? You see the gospel book. That's the law, but it's the law with grace. It's the instruction that we need to live our life that Christ has given to us. And what else do we see on the table? We see the cross, which is the rod that budded. The cross by which Christ sacrificed himself for us and gave us salvation. That's what we see from the Old Testament. We see the New Testament hidden, and in the New Testament we see the Old Testament revealed. This is what it's all about. This is what we need to place our faith in and not be doubtful like the apostles were on the front end of this, because unlike the apostles, we can look back and read the Gospels. We can see everything that Christ has done for us, and so we just simply need to have faith and trust in him as our shepherd. Amen.